Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين. That is, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. And after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. All unqualified praise is due to Allah who sit down upon us his book most clear. وَكَانَ أَخْرُ مَا نَزَلَ مِنْ آيَاتِهِ الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَاتُ وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ إِسْلَامَ دِينَ. And among the last ayah, he said, this day have I perfected for you your way of life, have completed my favor upon you, and have preferred for you al-Islam as a way of life. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. We bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment. There is no object of worship except Allah. His is the kingdom, lahu alhamd. His is the praise. To him is due all unqualified praise. Biyadihi alkhayr, in his hand is all good. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. He has power over all things. Wa nashhadu anna sayyidina Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. And we bear open and sound testimony that our leader Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant and his messenger. We pray, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala sayyidina Muhammad. O Allah, send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, wa ala alihi, and upon his family, wa sahbihi, and upon his companions, ajma'in, all of them. Wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, wa jumu'ah mubarak, wa ramadan mubarak. The month of Ramadan has come in. Alhamdulillah. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Al-haakum takathur hatta zurtumul makabir. Kalla sawfa ta'lamun, thumma kalla sawfa ta'lamun. Kalla law ta'lamun 'ilma al-yaqin. لترعون الجحيم ثم لترعونها عين اليقين ثم لا تسألون يومئذ عن النعيم. صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mightiest has spoken the truth. This is the 102nd surah of the Quran, entitled At-Takathur. An expression of it is The mutual rivalry in seeking worldly gain diverts you from remembering God. Until you reach the graves, nay, you will soon come to know. Nay, again, you will soon come to know. Nay, if you only knew with certain knowledge, you will certainly see hell in this very life. You will certainly see it with the eye of certainty. Then in that day, you shall be called to account about the worldly favors. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. The hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Hurairah reported that the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, said, لِلسَّاعِمْ فَرَحَتَانِ فَرَحَةٌ حِينَ يُفْتِرُ وَفَرَحَةٌ حِينَ يَلْقَى رَبَّهُ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. And the expression of this hadith is that there are two joys for the one who fasts. The joy when he breaks his fast and the joy when he meets his Lord. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our topic today is Ramadan and the remembrance of death. Ramadan and the remembrance of death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ضَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتَ إِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَا أُجْرَكُمْ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زَحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَعُ الْغُرُورِ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ. An expression of this, the 185th ayah of Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, is every soul shall have a taste of death, and you will be paid your full wage on the day of resurrection. Anyone who is distanced from the fires and admitted to the garden has triumphed. What is the life of this world except enjoyment and entertainment of illusion? Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Alhamdulillah, this reminder of death as a fact, it's critical. We're not inclined as human beings. We're not inclined to think about death, especially the younger we are, you know. But the older we are, death does come into our consciousness a little more than it did when we were younger, because there's just something about the chronology that says, "Oh, I'm a little closer than I was 40 years ago." And alhamdulillah is a blessing. Just understand this, for as far as al-Islam is concerned, you know this, is in Jum'ah is a reminder. It's like death is a part of the whole thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ الْعَامَلَ. So he is the one who created the death and the life to try which of you is best in conduct. This is in the design. Unlike we've been told, mashallah, and it has its interpretations that can be made correct in terms of taking benefit from it. Said by one man, sin, death entered into the world. And the idea that death, quote unquote, is a curse of sorts in this, like that's from a wrong understanding. I'll just leave it like that. So death is not a curse. Death is not a curse. Death is a part of the whole reality of life as God has created it. It was always meant to be. It was always meant to be. And it serves a very important purpose, because Among many other things, I can't cover it now, even it's not even within my capacity to do so, but enough to say the awareness of our mortality, the awareness of our mortality, and added to that the belief that there is a judgment and that our Creator who created us is going to judge us after death. It influences us, if we keep both of those things in mind, it influences us to behave in a way respecting that ultimate end, respecting that judgment, respecting that death. Alhamdulillah. So being reminded of that is very important for us, and especially at this time of the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, no better time than this, other than always. Alhamdulillah. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, that is the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, I came to the Prophet along with 9 other people. When a man from the Ansar, those people who helped the Muhajirs, those who made Hijrah from Mecca to Medina, the Ansars were those already there in Yathrib or Medina to give them aid. So he came with 9 other people when a man from the Ansar stood up and asked, O Prophet of Allah, who is the wisest person? He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, the one who mentions and contemplates death the most, and the one who prepared his death the most. These are the wise ones. They gain the glory of this life and the honor of the hereafter. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whatever the question comes up, an answer the Prophet has given us to the question, well, who's the scholar? Who's the scholar? Who is the wise? The one who remembers death the most. The one who remembers death the most, because they gain the glory of this life and the honor of the hereafter. So says Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the verse that this verse just precedes the questioning of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam of how will the resurrection be, which is 260 of Surah Al-Baqarah, the verse 260. This is 259. And how wonderful it is and how beautiful it is that it is in this one, well, you can call it a proverb, you can call it a parable, you can call it just a picture, you can call it a story, just in one verse, right? And it's this. I'm only going to read an expression of it. Sometimes a translation, but so 259 says, or take the similitude. Well, similitude is a parable. So take the similitude of one who passed by a hamlet. A hamlet is those old age towns, right? Who passed by a hamlet, all in ruins to its roofs. He said, oh, how shall Allah bring it ever to life after this its death? But Allah caused him to die for 100 years, then raised him up again. He said, how, that is Allah, he said, how long did you tarry thus? Meaning, how long were you out of it? Let's bring us home, right? How long were you out of it? He said, perhaps a day or part of a day. He said, nay, you have tarried for 100 years, but look at your food and your drink. They show no signs of age. And look at your donkey, and that we may make of you a sign unto the people look further at the bones. How they bring them together and clothe them, how we bring them together and clothe them with flesh. When this was shown clearly to him, he said, I know that Allah has power over all things. Alhamdulillah, sadaqallahu alayhi. Let me mention this by way of kind of a mini announcement. The announcement will be made later in this month of Ramadan. We're strongly encouraging us to return to this sacred space and learn together and spend time together and interconnect with each other. So during Ramadan on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, I'm going to be doing pre-iftar sessions from 6 until iftar, basically. And I'm mentioning it now because as I went through the surah that forms the foundation for today, Surah 102, Surah Taqatur, and then it's pictured here as well. There's so much in that we're deciding not to cover today, but I have decided that the first of those sessions, and we'll be doing it under the title Random Ramadan Reminders. Random, I'm not setting it up to say we're going to talk about this subject in specific. I don't know what it's going to be. In fact, the title of today's Juma was different than the one that came an hour later. So I'm not trying to fix it, but I want you to be informed that there's so much knowledge in this. And so taking advantage of what these verses bring to us is what we're going to be doing on Tuesday and Wednesday. Now, so much in this. The man was asking, how can something return from such a low fall, this collapse, this town has been broken down. How is it going to come back to life? How is it going to be brought back to life? And so Allah used him as an example, caused him to die. And then he brought him back. And he asked, how long had you, quote, slept? How long had you been away in that state of not knowing? Say a day or a part of the day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, been for 100 years. Now, some of you have heard this story before, but I can look around and see enough new faces to know that I don't have to feel like I'm telling repeat stories. I got to tell you, it's very important. I myself had open heart surgery, that's almost 4 years ago now. And I was told, because I'd never been under anesthesia before, so I was told by Dr. Imam Wazir in Houston, Texas, this is how it's going to be. It's going to be, they're going to give you, and in my case, they gave an injection. So I can remember literally seeing the intravenous, going in. He said, then they're going to ask you to count backwards from 10. He said, by the time you get to 8, you'll be waking up again. And that's exactly how it happened. It's like, I saw that. Next thing I knew, they were waking me up, taking the tubes out of my throat because they had to put in whatever it is. I'm not trying to gross you out. I'm just trying to tell you. That's just happened. It happened, right? And see, this is a part of what connects with that experience. And you don't choose that experience for yourself, at least not deliberately. There are some things that you do that choose it for you, but you don't choose it. But there is ilm al-yaqeen. I'll just make that point. Ilm al-yaqeen, in the verse that we read, if you were to know with a certain knowledge. And then in the last part of this 259, where it says, when he was shown clearly, When this was shown clearly to him, the man who had the question, when this was shown clearly to him, he said, I know that Allah has power over all things. So he came to ilm al-yaqeen. He came to certain knowledge, certain in the sense of being sure, but I also want us to understand that it's saying there's certain knowledge that will make you sure. That's a big point. No matter how light it seems to you, it's like, to get that knowledge that makes you certain. When you get that knowledge that makes you certain, now your behavior will line up with that certain knowledge. And you know the saying, experience is the best teacher. So I'm saying to you, speaking from a position of experience, because there are things that they have to do that in that case, that heart that they are working on, they had to do something for it to not continue to function in the way that it would normally function, have something else substituting that function, and then restore it to its original function after the repair. That's a kind of death. In addition to which, every night when we lay down to go to sleep, there's a period of time that both the Quran and science says that you stop breathing. And the Quran speaks of some, we take their souls when they sleep. Some we return and some we don't. So we die every night. And we know that Islam tells us that death is the sleep is the twin of death. But we go to sleep or even not even thinking about it. I'll take care of that in the morning. Really? Will you? Maybe you will have been taken care of that night. Alhamdulillahilladhi ahya ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. This statement is a statement that we are invited to make. All praise is due to Allah ahyana, who brought us back to life, ba'dama amatana, after our death, wa ilayhi nushur, and to him is our eventual return. These are the words that we strive to make the first words out of our mouth when we wake up. Praise be to Allah who has brought us back to life after our death, and to him is our eventual return. It's like there's going to be a time when I permanently die out of this world. Ilayhi nushur. But I'm reminding myself that I died last night, and I thank Allah for bringing me back to life this morning. There's no guarantee. It's like, what, God owes it to you for you to wake up every morning? Well, I know I'm good. Really? No. Thinking about the immediacy of death. It's not morbid, it's ibadah. It's worshiping, it's recognizing the reality of our life and the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it relates to our life. So look at our life. Look up the numbers. How old is the universe? Look up the numbers. How old is the earth? Just those two. And we're talking about trillions and billions of years. What did that feel like? Because we weren't here for those trillions of years. We weren't here for those billions of years. What did that feel like? Oh man, shoot, I was glad when I got here, man. Damn, okay. When am I ever gonna come into reality? No. You have no awareness of it. You have no consciousness of it. Just like my mentioning of the operation. That operation took hours and hours. Breaking bones and cutting skin and all that. Unconscious. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Through it all. So there's no sense of that. Okay. But in my description, in my experience, we're talking 3 to 5 seconds. Did you hear what I just said? It's like the whole experience was like 3 to 5 seconds. If the count had anything to do with it, 10, 9, 8, you're waking up. So that's less than 5 seconds. In experience, in consciousness, brother and sister. MashaAllah, inshaAllah, there's no holding it back, no putting it forward an hour. If it's intended for any of us to die, then don't figure if somebody dies after the khutbah, me or anybody. Yeah, man, it's must think because he's thinking about death. We're superstitious sometimes. The point that I'm trying to make, the reports say that death is as near to you as the bottom of your feet. That's a fact, because we stand on dead matter. And that what makes the earth what the earth is the life that folds into it, grows out of it, folds back into it, grows out of it. Death is all of that. Our life is supported by death. The food you eat tonight will be something that has been killed so that you can eat it. Death supports our life. So this very short period of time, so if we were to die today, judgment, Yom Kiyama will be less than a day away. I'm just going to pause. I really want you to know. You're thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow, right? What if we die tonight? Judgment is tomorrow. And if you can understand that means that's true for every one of us. For every one of us, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us how to address that, to think about that. He says to us, when you wake up in the morning, don't expect to live to the night. And when you go to sleep at night, don't expect to wake up in the morning. It's literally inviting us to live each day as though it were our last. Because one day that's going to be true. And just like that, the next reality is going to be Allah and the judgment for us, Yawm al-Qiyamah. And this verse in 259, there's deep science, and that's why ilm al-yaqeen, this yaqeen, this certain knowledge, and ilm is throughout the whole verse. So it's talking about science. And time is a part of the ghurur that the verse that we read also starts from, or rather includes. This life is an illusion. Wallahi, brother and sister, mashallah. Time, as we experience it in this three-dimensional space, is one of the realities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us in this three-dimensional space. But you can find it in most of us, mashallah, that's how it is. You know, and I don't have absolute patience and competence in it for it where I really go looking for it. But you know, the Einstein types, quote-unquote, and the ideas about the fabric of time. Time is like a fabric, and time folds, and all of that. These are things that have been established scientifically and mathematically to tell us what? That time, as we understand it in this world, is an illusion. It is ghurur. That's what Allah is telling us. What is this life but entertainments and matters of illusion? So it's to be fair, but with Tuesday, Wednesdays, inshallah, we'll get more into it. The point is for us to understand that we experience time like right now. How long are you going to go today? After all. But look, this is what happens. Look up this thing called flow. Flow, F-L-O-W. Just look it up. And flow is a label for a state when someone is really into whatever it is that they're into, and it's a union between their consciousness, their appetite, their desires, what they want to do, except they lose track of time. time is no longer relevant. They could do that, whatever that is, for 3 hours, 4 hours, et cetera, and not be tired and not be bored. Except why? Because it's something that lines up with their reality. And so in that state, time ceases to be significant for them as it is, as it would be for others. So what I'm saying is for us, this idea about time, when we pass from this world, as with that Quranic verse 2:259, it says you've been gone for 100 years, but look at your animal, look at your food, look at your drink. And I always get this image of, you know, a cup of coffee and the smoke still coming out of the cup of coffee. The animal is bent down, nibbling some grass on the ground, and it's still there, tied up, like ain't nothing happened. The food hasn't got molded and stale or hard or what. It's just like you just walked out and walked back into the room. That's the image. To tell us what? That this thing that you call time, and you understand as time in this world, it too is a part of the illusion that is a part of the construction of the thing you call life. I'm alive. But these things are happening on the basis of a design and a mechanics and a physics, if you understand, that allows to construct a situation where between birth and death, you will be tried to see where you're going to go after you pass through that door of death. I'm just going to put it this way, not to minimize it or to desacralize it or what have you, but it's like a lab. We're in a lab. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of all of us, he constructs situations peculiar to each one of us, meaning that the light, he says it, mashallah. مَا خَلَفَكُمْ وَبَعْدَكُمْ إِلَّا كَنَفْسٌ وَاحِدَةٌ Allah said, your creation and your resurrection is in no wise except as a single soul. Many meanings can be applied to that. But the one reason we're focusing on right now is this. God said, I deal with each one of you as though you're the only one in the universe. You think I'm busy with Ukraine and Russia, so I can't deal with you in East Oakland? Come on. He's the one who upholds the heavens and the earth and doesn't get fatigued at all. Everything that's happening in life, the one Lord is not distracted. He's not overwhelmed. He's not preoccupied. I deal with each of you as one person. So when we understand that I don't have to think about this to conclude this part of the khutbah. I don't have to think about Joe or Sue or Rahman or whoever. You choose your own Muslim name because say somebody name. He's talking about me. You have too many Muslims in there, so that's why I go with Joe, Sue, Billy, and all the rest of it. Right. So when we recognize that Allah is dealing with each one of us as a single individual, that is what is to be our concern. What I choose to do or say, how does that bear on my judgment? Not what they're going to think, what he's going to think, what she's going to think, because your book of record, and there's an angel on right and left recording all that you say and do, that's that record that's going to be pulled out at that time, the day after you die, I'll use that metaphor, the day after you, that book that includes everything that you thought, felt, said, did, it's in the book. And being concerned about what we put on our book is the most important thing. And Ramadan is one of those months like no other that the rewards are multiplied. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, follow up an evil deed with a good deed, because the good deed erases the evil deed, and behave well towards people. If we're concerned about our book, we're concerned about our record that doesn't miss anything, then an opportunity like Ramadan to multiply the benefit of God's forgiveness, to multiply the benefit of God's mercy, this is a time like no other. Because the good deeds have an even greater value, which means that the good deeds are going to take away even more ill deeds. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. آمين. الله أكبر. بسم الله. There's a person that some of you may know, but they introduce you. You don't. He's known, his moniker, kunya, whatever, is Ibn al-Samak. Ibn al-Samak. Read a little bit, very briefly, of his biography. He was a native of the city of Kufa in today's Iraq and was a prominent figure in the Ijl tribe. He was a rhetorician, a speechwriter of great skill, and there are many stories told of his proficiency with the spoken and written word. Linguistic skills, both oral and written, are highly prized in the Arab world, to a degree not fully appreciated in the West. It is a culture that elevates beautiful writing and speech to an art form. His name was Abu al-Abbas Muhammad ibn Sabih. His surname was al-Mazkur, but like many famous figures, is his nickname that posterity recalls best. This nickname is Ibn al-Samak, which literally means son of a fishmonger. In Arabic, the word for fish is Samak. So Ibn al-Samak, he said, while a fisherman was fishing, he threw his net in the sea, and it came back with a human skull. He looked at it and started crying and said, if you were honorable, your honor didn't delay your death. If you were wealthy, your wealth did not delay your death. If you were poor, your poverty did not delay your death. If you were generous, your generosity did not delay your death. If you were strong, your strength did not delay your death. If you were a scholar, your knowledge did not delay your death. He kept repeating these words, and I would imagine he would continue to list things that people consider important, but none of which could stop death. He kept repeating these words and crying. Every soul shall have a taste of death. You're handsome, that's not going to stop death. You're beautiful, that's not going to stop death. You sold the most papers in the first resurrection, that's not going to stop death. Nothing stops death. Nothing. And since that's the case, get ready. And that readiness is put your state, your condition in the best state. And I do have with this cultural saying, say, you know, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. In Ramadan, the report says that whoever keeps the fast in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered it, and it was modeled by Prophet Muhammad for us, whoever comes to the end of that fast, having done so, they return to the state of purity that they were in the day they were born. Allahu Akbar. So this is an Eid al-Fitr. That's what we're celebrating. That's what we're hoping. I hope my fast was such that earned that reward for an original here.
God's still working on me, right?
So, yeah, I want that stuff gone. Well, Ramadan is our best way. So who would waste Ramadan? Who would waste Ramadan? Man, NBA Finals and the Final Four. Man, you better be on this Ramadan piece right here, man. Right? That's very, very critical. Here, this was another statement from Ibn Asamit, who I just introduced you to. Oh, no, I didn't. Okay, I didn't include that. That's okay. I'll do it on another day. A couple of reports, and then we'll conclude. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, an angel says to the children of Adam, that's every day, an angel rises and says, I am a new day, so make the best of me, for you will not see me again until the day of judgment. Every day is an opportunity to affect our judgment. Every day. And the clock in this world, it doesn't run backwards. Time gone is time gone. You had an opportunity in a 5-minute span to do a good deed, and you chose not to do that good deed, you won't have that opportunity again. Same with an hour, same with a day. This month of Ramadan, this is the taqwa, right? Kutiba alaykum as-siyama kama kutiba alal ladina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Taqwa. Taqwa is taqwa. Among other things, it's being conscious in the way that Allah wants you to be conscious. And what is the description of what are the ways that Allah wants us to be conscious? When the angel Jibril, not known as such, when he was asking the questions to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of his questions was, what is ihsan? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it is to worship Allah as though you are seeing him. For lo, even though you can't see him, he sees you. So taqwa is acting as though you're seeing God. So which means being conscious in every moment of all the opportunities that are available for us to take advantage of to get good rewards on our books. Some of y'all know about putting something on your book. You know what I'm talking about. Put something on your own book. Yeah, man, I need to pick up this trash so I can put something on my book. I need to restrain myself so I can put something on my book. And this verse from the Quran, or a series of verses, an expression of it is, for those who do good in this world is good, and the home of the hereafter is better. This is Allah. Do you understand? Every time you read the words of the Quran, you're reading Allah's statement. This is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's saying, for those who do good in this world is good. And the home of the hereafter is better. Allah is telling us, okay, I know this is beautiful. I made it. I've created a situation where I know you ain't ready to leave this place. But Allah says the hereafter is better. To go back to the opening terms, is that ilm al-yaqeen, if you had certain knowledge, you would prefer the hereafter to this world because you are certain of the reality of the hereafter and you're certain that what Allah has said is true. You are certain. That's better than this. Whatever you can think of in this world that you think is wonderful and, ooh, if I only had X, Y, Z, you fill in the blank. With Allah and the life that comes after this life, nothing compares. It hasn't even been conceived. You know, I got to mention something. You know what I'm saying? You think about a Rolls Royce, right? I mean, I think Rolls Royce qualifies as the highest form of, and you know, Learjet, whatever. You're okay. All those things, man. What Allah has for the believer in the life that comes hereafter, there's no comparison. Take the highest thing in this world, and it's nothing compared because you can't imagine it. So al-haqam wa takathur, the striving for piling up the good things in this world distracts you from the fact you're going to die and somebody else is going to inherit all that stuff. None of it's going with you. The only thing that's going to be benefiting you is what's on your books. So you might need to sell that Rolls Royce and put it on your books. Inshallah. Now, it's no sin having a Rolls Royce, you know. I've often fantasized about, well, maybe I ain't going to buy one, but maybe I might rent one for some occasion. I don't, you know, mashallah, it costs this, that, and that, and that. If they're renting them, then yeah, I can rock on one for a little while, and I'll take it back. And that'll be the end of it, right? But the point that to be made is, the eye hasn't seen, the ear hasn't heard, and it hasn't even entered into the hearts of human beings to imagine what Allah has on reserve for the believer. Huh? Well, let's finish this reading. I'm reading from 16:30-32. So it says, and how excellent is the home of the righteous. Allahu Akbar. How excellent. This is Allah saying. This is a home that I prepared for you. Allah, the creator of us. I know some of us look in the mirror and say, man, I'm looking good. Well, who made that? Who gave you that form? That you're in love with your image in the mirror. You should say, alhamdulillah. Huh? He said, gardens are perpetual residence. You ain't gonna get no rent-a-quit notice in the hereafter. You know, you're not gonna get evicted. If you make it to paradise, no eviction. Allahu Akbar. I know as an FOI, I got evicted. We got evicted a couple of times, but we were fighting for the cause. Mashallah. Gardens of perpetual residence, which they will enter, beneath which rivers flow, they will have therein whatever they wish. Thus does Allah reward the righteous, the ones whom the angels take at death. Being good and pure, the angels will say, peace be upon you. Enter paradise for what you used to do. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmatan innaka antal wahhab. الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Father, we praise you in the best manner as we know. We praise you in accordance with the manner that you praise yourself. We praise you in the names that you have named yourself. O Allah, remove from us our ignorance, remove from us our laziness, remove from us our doubts, remove from us our ignorance. O Allah, we beg your aid and assistance because we have no power to do right. We have no power to guide ourselves. O Allah, there are things that we think we know, but those things are not complete. O Allah, there are things that we need to know, but we don't even know what we need to know. O Allah, we need your guidance to show us and to tell us what we must do in order to have the best life in this world and the world that comes hereafter. O Allah, we believe in your promise. We have no doubt about your promise. Purify us in our beliefs. Purify us in our appetites. Purify us in our desires. Help us, O Allah, to contain and restrict ourselves from those things that would lead us to the hellfire. O Allah, bless us to walk on the path that would lead us to the Jannah. O Allah, bless us to want to earn the favors that you have promised us in your book and through the life of your prophet. O Allah, help us even against and especially against our own shortcomings. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Allahu Akbar. لا إله إلا الله سيدي محمد رسول الله استوى استخيم يحمكم الله وثابكم الله من كارل ستريت even leave no space between shaitan and divine. If our rules are straight, I just want to agree. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألحاكم تكاثر حتى زرتم المكابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترؤونها عين اليقين ثم لا تسألون يومئذ عن النعيم. الله أكبر. ثناء الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواسوا بالحق وتواسوا بالصبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الفاتحة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين الحمد لله تقبل الله الله أكبر الحمد لله couple of announcements as we do no it's okay if you're going to make some you make some it's okay since we know that we expect during Ramadan there are going to be more people here and more people here, we do broadcast the Jumu'ah live. So we want everybody to be very conscious of, especially while Jumu'ah is going on, coming in front of the camera. Just all that center, either start to the behind him to the right or to the left and stay on either side until you get seated. That's a critical thing there. So real quick, Alhamdulillah, Daryl Rahman and Badia, and Steve and Deborah Lewis, and Naeem Zarina and Amin Majid are celebrating anniversaries. Alhamdulillah. And also we have Carl Peters, the husband of Dr. Hanifa Shuaib Peters, his birthday today. Khalila Marie Muhammad, I believe that's Imam Esmond's wife, alhamdulillah, and Lamina Sumter. They are also April birthdays, alhamdulillah. Kamila Shuaib is going to be a guest presenter on the Study of Islam Ramadan series at 7 a.m. in the morning. So alhamdulillah, represent. And you can get the pin numbers and the like from the newsletter. It should be there in the back. Also, April 2nd, Masjid Wardeen have a very important Ramadan food giveaway sponsored by a nonprofit Muslim organization. There'll be 200 bags to be provided for believers and local neighbors. Each bag will contain quality fruit and vegetables, halal chicken, fish, and food preparation items. Additionally, volunteers will be needed to help distribute the bags. It's very, very critical to have that physical help there. 200 bags might not sound like a lot, but you got all these items that have to be included. And see, we especially need the male power, the muscle power, to come on in, do the help. You can check with Ibrahim right here, the leader of the men's group, and he can give you details on your participation. I believe we're talking about showing up at 8 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock, you're going to be here. Also, Brother Khalid, he was already out there testing his drones, not to shoot nobody, but not with a gun, but with pictures. So you want to be in that frame. When that picture is played, when that video is played, your face want to be in that space for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? Not just for the sake of being seen, but that's good too, right? In fact, excuse me, y'all know it's good. Look, Khalid sent out a video that we received, a two-hour video from, it was about tribute to Ali Rashid, right? Some of y'all know him. Some of you OGs, y'all know Ali Rashid. He was like no other, right? And Khalid was actually in the video, and he didn't even remember that he was in the video. Big interview. That's a two-hour piece that got to some of y'all don't know, but that's why you need to know. It's like, now, why are we all juiced about the Nation of Islam, the old FOI thing? Because we were there. And we're old soldiers. We're vets. When you see this, it's very important. Young people, that's your history. You need to see that, this person, that person. So inshallah, we got to get that. But what I'm saying about talking about for tomorrow is that we are making a new history. So we want young people and those that have been here from beginning to end, we want you also there to help make that happen, right? And also, it's like, get your share of this material world. Get you a bag and then keep muscling the bags for others, okay? All right. So, yes, so that's one more time. No, no, no. This is tomorrow. All that I've said was for tomorrow, 8 o'clock, and then we'll actually start doing the distributing like 10 o'clock. It's going to be from 10 to 2, but we're going to be doing bagging and setting up the scenario for distribution. We're going to do that. Who's choosing of these two boys right here? What's your name, my brother? I can't see that far. I know it looks like I can, but I can't. What? Troy? All right, Troy. Your son? Man. There was nothing, I'm talking about throughout the whole khutbah, there was nothing that saying, oh, man, why I got to be here? No. They were focused, paying attention. You could see the thought in their mind. May Allah preserve them. May Allah guide them. May Allah help them. May Allah bless them. And you to be congratulated for the contribution that you've made to give them that spirit and to bring them into this space. It's really, really, I feel good when I see that kind of life coming up behind us. It's really a blessing. I don't know what I was going to say after that, but that's the point. Okay, so Ramadan. So as far as Ramadan, there's no yard sale tomorrow. And Ramadan, call the master. There is a yard sale tomorrow? Okay, my bad. Well, I'm just reading. Yeah, I'm going to pass that on to the one who gave me the message, okay? All right, so we have been informed that there is a yard sale tomorrow. All right, so call Masjid. Now we're on to Ramadan now. Call Masjid al-Warithin after 9 p.m. tonight, 4-1, to confirm whether or not there's a new moon of Ramadan. Ramadan has been, whether it's been sighted, and when to start the Ramadan fast. So as always is, the when to start, when not to start, et cetera, is always something that comes up every year, mashallah. There should be copies of my letter that we sent out. So if you have any questions around that matter, then you can see our letter there. And those of you who are on the list, you got it in your email, inshallah. Also, random Ramadan reminders. So I will be doing pre-iftar classes on site and on Zoom Tuesdays and Wednesdays during Ramadan from 6 until break fast, except during the Ramadan session. Now, the Ramadan session is going to be under the theme of moving the community life into the future. That's going to be from April 12th to the 14th, and it's going to be on both on-site and on Zoom. More details coming on-site, on Zoom from 1:30 to 5, 1:35 on those days, 12th, 13th, 14th. That's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, okay? Those Ramadan sessions are a tradition in our community. And, of course, one of those opportunities to put something on your book is the $100, 100 people, $100, so that we can make sure that our Eid celebration for our children is always memorable. We want to make an impression on them that is indelible, unforgettable, and we work on that every year. And the way we do it is 100 people give $100, and that will enable us to make sure we have a wonderful spread and experience for them to carry with them for the rest of their life, all right? So New Africa Iftar guidelines and calendar is coming soon as well. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.